This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth. The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
What's up, Marvin Barnes?
Hey, welcome to the Hardline, 5 in the Fan Cave, and S. I believe that's a shot at me.
No, it was out of respect. Okay. I love Marvin Barnes.
Well, great.
So long as you don't pick up a tire iron like he did.
No, I wouldn't.
He will tire iron a guy in a heartbeat. But game time is on time.
I am here. John Hadley is next door to be here shortly.
Whoa. See, now you're losing credibility.
Sorry.
You mentioned that he's next door. Leave it at that.
Yeah.
Could he come in? Yeah, it's on the realm, the spectrum of possibilities, but history tells us.
I am all in on exactly what you're saying. He just told me as my boss to say he'll be here. So we're going to talk to Cam Jansen. We're going to text him before we talk to him. We got to kind of see what his schedule is. We're going to talk to him sometime in this first hour. Then we're going to talk to Gabe DeArmon, PowerMizzou.com, at 2:30. So that should be a lot of fun. And we got to talk to Mizzou basketball. They're going to the championship of, these tournaments are kind of whatever. I'm never a huge fan of these.
I'm a big fan.
Oh, are you? Okay, good. Let's get into
it. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I'm up for opening with
and
that.
And I've got a whole Mizzou basketball thing I want to yell at people.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm all about it. And you should yell at me because I've been ripping Jordan Geist, who was incredible. And
he had a good game.
I have also
looked kind of good, like as a spot up shooter and a secondary ball handler. I mean, I thought it looked great.
Let's get into it right now then.
Let's do that. I was wrong about Perrier, too, at least for one game.
Here is my thing, and I wanted to say this to you as a friend, and you went to Mizzou. So there's an emotional difference there,
yes.
Even though on the air you're also trying to be an observer, an analyst, a critic, all those other things that
sure.
go with your job, but you can't take away from who you are.
Correct.
You're a Mizzou fan.
Yes.
So, but what I'm getting from a huge swath of the media and maybe even a bigger percentage of Mizzou fans that I just know and meet and see and talk to, I think you folks are being overly critical of Konzo Martin's squad. And I don't mean this to be insulting, but it probably is. It tells me you don't know the game, because here's why. You go into a season with your group, with your plan, what you're going to have, and that's how you move forward, and hopefully it grows and gets better as the season wears on.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, do you understand what it means to have an NBA player on your team in college basketball? If you don't, then just sit back and enjoy the games. You had your team built around an NBA player. Then he was taken away from you.
Yes.
It changes everything. And that aspect of it never goes away. Well, injuries happen to everybody. Stop it. Not every college team loses an NBA player. Unfortunately for the Tigers, it's happened 2 years in a row. The odds of that are impossible. They're impossible. So to criticize a team that has taken the fundamental building block away from what they're trying to do is not realistic, and it's not fair. Konzo Martin got that team to the NCAA tournament last year.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't shock me if he does it again this year. Although he still had an NBA player. We just didn't really know it at the time in Jonte.
Correct.
So now he may, and I don't know his personnel enough to say for sure, he may not and probably doesn't have any NBA players. I don't know about Tillman. There could be some guys, but no automatics.
Correct.
Like Jonte was going to be. And I think that criticisms have to be couched with that understanding that you took away something that cannot be replaced in season. It's not possible to replace it in season. It's just not. And if you still want to rag on guys, and well, then I'm sorry, you just don't understand how it works. You just don't.
So I don't think anybody is ragging on guys. Well, I don't want to speak for anybody else. I was not ragging on guys because I expected them to be something they weren't. That's just who I think they are, and we're still going to be, and it was not going to be exposed as much when you had Jontay Porter in the center. And so now it's going to be exposed, so I'm forced to talk about them more, whereas I didn't think I was going to have to.
Yeah, and that wasn't – that was just a broad
sure. –
For, you know, a broadcast.
Absolutely. No, I don't, and I don't mind criticism. You know the game of basketball a lot better than
but
I do.
And I just think people, I think anytime this group does something.
Hey, Rock, John would like to come inside. It's amazing that our boss does not have a key to this place.
That, it's almost, it's so odd, it's almost cool.
It is kind of cool, yeah. What?
He's so odd. He's almost cool.
I feel like he's on purpose. Like,
John Hadley.
He's got to be let in.
He comes in once a year.
The conference call.
All right. No, hey, get this. The fact that you run the place and don't have a key is so weird. It's cool. But then I looked at your sweatshirt. He didn't have a New Orleans Saints sweatshirt on. Saints equipment.
Oh, yeah. Well, I worked for the Saints for 5 years.
But I'm just saying, that's a cool shirt. It's not something you go buy.
Oh, no, no.
No, that's what I mean. Hmm.
This is the kind of stuff that TJ got for 3 weeks before they cut him.
That's a lot of stuff. The amount of stuff they can hand out in 3 weeks, you wouldn't believe.
So, have I been wrong for 3 decades? Are you actually cool?
Oh, no.
No, okay, all right.
So, I have been right. All right.
No, in fact, I fight being cool. I mean, I'm naturally cool, but I fight it. I fight it.
Well, it's working.
Man, I got to start using that line when people talk to me. Like, what are you doing? I'm fighting being cool. This is on purpose. Don't worry.
Hey, John, so I was yelling at everybody else for yelling at Missouri Tigers basketball. So quick, catch you up real quick. I think it's been unfair for those who've been criticizing Mizzou basketball when they don't offer the codicil of they lost an NBA player and that how devastating that is to a program. And that anything you do positively now is golden. Anything is golden because you lost everything. That is not a shot at the other players. But when you have an NBA player, everybody else is a role player.
Right.
And I just think that Konzo did that last year and got to the tournament. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he finds a way to do it with this team.
Yeah, I mean, and in essence, he really lost 2 NBA players.
Yeah, right. In back-to-back seasons. Yep. Yeah. And so, you know, it just bugged me, and I was happy for them to beat Oregon State, and
I was surprised about that.
To get into their tournament championship, and that was the other thing. That's what got me going because anytime you're a champion of anything, it matters.
Yeah,
if you're the Independence Bowl champion, it matters.
Well, that's the only one I got.
It matters.
It's the only one I got, but I'm glad you said that.
No, I'm telling you, it matters. You play to win the game.
That is well said. So the reason I said that, I'm not that interested, is because early on in the season, you're working out so many kinks, it's not too indicative of who your team really is. That's really what I mean by that. I like that you get the guys usually get a good trip out of it. A lot of times they go play in Hawaii or something. That's cool. I don't think you can expect Geist and Puryear to combine for 38 points, and I think Geist was 80% for the free throw, 12 for 15 or whatever it was from the free throw line. That's probably not who they are, and so if it's not who they are, then these young guns have to develop in a hurry in order to maintain what's happening. But I was surprised by that one in the first place.
But again, to do what? Because no matter what your expectations were, they have to change, and not only change dramatically. Mm-hmm. And that's my point. Yeah, what are they going to have to do? Well, all they can do is be who they are.
Sure.
They can't, you know, you hope that as a group you get better incrementally as the season goes along. And I think most teams that play a long schedule, that's always how you try to plan it. You peak at the right time, keep figuring things out, keep working things out together. But no matter what you think they can be now, it has to be under the heading of you lost a great player. And you just can't overcome that.
Do you think that people are criticizing Konzo? Because I have not heard any of that.
I just think people want to win, here's what I think.
You're going to learn that unless people talk about it, that Smoothie King, it never happened.
It's true.
Smoothie King?
I haven't spent much time with Smoothie King lately, but Ryan Kelly is a miracle worker. I got to tell you guys all about my absolute crushing.
I could sit there and talk to 20 people in a restaurant, and it doesn't matter unless TJ's heard it.
No, no, I asked him if he heard it because I had not heard anybody criticizing Conley.
I hear people oftentimes criticize him.
Rammer has not, so there you go.
But keep in mind, here's the other thing. My little defense deal. Mizzou fans don't want to hear from me because I'm the Billiken guy.
Sure.
Even if I say something good, they don't want
to hear. Which happens frequently. We've talked about Mizzou. You've been complimentary every time.
Conzo's terrific.
Yeah.
He's terrific. Norm, it'd be a lie to consider him a friend, but we were certainly friendly, and I love Norm. And so, yeah, so absolutely. But because of where I am with St. Louis U, Mizzou fans don't want to hear it, and I get it. I'm not even mad about it. But I'm just saying, so what do I think is happening? I think people are really myopic and living in the moment without understanding why they're in this moment.
Right.
They're in this moment because Jonte got hurt. So I think everything, so yeah, be disappointed at losses and happy with wins, but this is who you are, and to think that you can be where you'd hope to be when Jonte was healthy, it's not. Even if you got to this, with this team, you got to the Sweet 16, with Jonte, you're probably going to the Final Four. I mean, that it's
sure.
And so that's my thing. I think people are just really in the moment rather than understanding where the program is.
So, what I gather from, I don't think Twitter is actually indicative of the average person's thoughts, so I understand that. But from everybody I converse with on Twitter and then also in my everyday life, those people, they thought this was a borderline tournament team with Jonte because of the loss of Jordan Barnett and Cassius Robertson. Those two guys were worth a tournament bid. And when they lost him, every rational person that I talked to said, whatever you get this year is gravy. And so that's been the overwhelming theme. So I've seen people happy as can be about the Oregon State win. Most people think you're going to lose by 15 to 20 to Kansas State, which I think is fine. That's a top 15 team. And they just hope to be in it in the second half. Like, let's make that a game. And people were, I think, really impressed with Puryear and his ability to score some points down there. That's just not who he is normally. Maybe it is this year. Some guys do take off as seniors. That's really not who Geist has been. Unless I'm 100% wrong and Rock thinks he's the greatest spot-up shooter on the planet. At least he was good for that day. And so if you can get all that stuff together for this year, maybe you are looking at a much better team. But most people, the complaints that I've seen is just that people, as you pointed out, want to win. It's not really aimed at Conzo. It's not really aimed at
right.
the guys so much. They're just upset that we're not winning and doggone it.
I think that's right. And living in the moment.
Yeah.
And maybe people just like to complain to me more. Perhaps you're around more positive people.
He doesn't answer the phone anymore, but I do. I pick up the phone and
I do. I'm just selective. Just selective.
Yeah, he doesn't pick up the phone for me anymore. Rock, did you watch the game?
Yeah, and you're right that you don't. I caught what I could through various means, legal or not.
Was up on Reddit again?
What, you were in jail?
Yeah, sure. You don't expect Geist and Puryear to break out like that, but you also don't expect to win a single game when you're shooting 29% from deep. Tillman's playing 13 minutes and getting 6 points. Mark Smith's taking four total shots from the field and getting 6 points. Yeah. And then Pinson and Watson are coming off the bench to go 2 for 12 and a combined like 1 for 8, I believe, from deep. Taking all those factors, and if I told you that before the game, you'd say they're getting waxed by 15 to 17 in this game.
Unless you told me that Geist and Puryear combined for 38.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of things that probably aren't going to happen going forward, and some of them are the bad play by Pinson and Watson, and the other parts are probably really good play by Geist and Puryear, to be honest.
But Conzo will find that what this team will have to do is find ways to win.
And they did. I think they did that last
night.
It
won't be the kind of thing where you can... You know, there won't be a lot of predictors, probably. It's certainly in the early going until Conzo kind of figures out his rotation, who he can count on, guys he knows he can't count on. And maybe it'll be that way the whole year. But finding ways to win is how they'll win.
Mark Smith was two for two from three again. He's shooting 50% on the season.
Yeah.
If this continues.
It'd take more than two.
Right. Right. Well,
if you're shooting for 50%, I would be okay with you gunning five or six in a game. I'm not going to have a problem with that.
So I didn't catch a lot of the game. However, I like that only if he can't be Cassius Robertson, who it didn't matter if a guy was in his face. And like, if he's just taking better shots. Last year, he shot 23% from three. So was he forcing shots? Was he a guy that, I know I'm a three-point shooter in high school, I've done it forever, and just chucking him up? And this year he's matured to the point where, yeah, he's going to make 50% from three, but some games it's going to be eight, some games it's going to be two, depending on if I'm suffocated. And if I'm suffocated, we're going to get an inside to Jeremiah Tillman, who played about, I don't know, 3 minutes because he can't play without fouling. That happened again.
Well, that's who he is. Yeah. So to complain about, look, to complain about John not showing up to the radio show, it's silly for, because we know who that's who he is.
That's right. I thought he'd have a key, though, Raymer. I really did.
That's probably not unreasonable. That's probably not unreasonable. Now, wait a minute. Now let me put my Billiken hat on. We've gone 15 minutes and haven't talked about the undefeated team in the market.
Yeah.
And so when do we get 15 minutes for that? No, I'm going to demand 20. When do we get that? Because it was a hell of a win on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, but you got to. We have a guest at the bottom, right?
So, not necessarily. We'll talk to Cameron.
Go ahead and take 12. We'll find you seven more.
It was really.
Here's the thing. Rock's not in charge, so we can go 35 more if John says it's okay.
No,
John,
I tell you,
John kind of is in charge.
I gotta go do a conference call in 10 minutes, so we can at least do 10.
So we're in New York, actually in Newark.
Sorry.
Playing Seton Hall, Big East, and you know they come in with a guy Miles Powell, averaging 23 a game or whatever, and the defensive effort was off the charts. Now, from when you played, maybe even going back to high school, maybe even pick up stuff. But athletes know no one wants to be guarded. Nobody wants to have somebody in their face.
Never.
All the time. Now, tell me how this works. Especially, I'm guarding you. I'm in your
grill.
In your kitchen, pan.
But worse, you don't know me or our team, and so therefore had no respect for us. And you go, wait a minute, what is happening here?
Yeah.
That's what was happening in New Jersey. St. Louis comes in. We're the Big East. We're Seton Hall. We've been to the tournament 3 times in a row. Who are these guys? And these guys were in their regions.
Mm-hmm.
And
regions. Got that, John?
Regions. Nether regions, if you wish, John.
Very nice.
And
all up in their stuff.
So their leading scorer.
John's sending emails, but he's got a few sayings he's going to
throw out there. They may or may not apply. If we get lucky, they'll be good. So their leading guy has like one field goal at the end of the half. And he was not happy. Two-hand shoved the guy, Javon Bess, the senior defender, his understudy, Fred Thatch from Sykeston, who blocked one of these kids' jump shots. And it was really remarkable defensive showing. One of the refs was really giving the whammer jammer to the Billikens. I mean, it was brutal. Don't believe me. Ask somebody. Just if you. Oh, there goes Ramsey again. I get it. I've earned that reputation. I get it.
It's a good one. I think I would keep that if I were you.
John Tate, bro. Can't get away from it. Got the video.
Talk to somebody who was either at the game or watched the game see if they agree.
They were getting jobbed, huh?
But this one guy.
Yeah.
And that's usually where it works with a 3-man officiating crew. I can get to that philosophy in a minute. That they could persevere and then beat Seton Hall on their floor. Yeah. They have two home courts. So they're playing at the Prudential Center. There's also a hockey building. But they play a number of home games there during the season and then on campus. So
Is it for any given reason? I've not heard that before. Why do they have two home courts?
The one on campus is way smaller.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And they had a very nice crowd. I think it was, I think I have it right in front of me. What was the crowd?
Do you need your glasses?
I do, and these are new stat sheets this year, and I haven't figured out how to read them just yet. After 30 years of having the exact same stat sheets,
hold on.
And now I don't see the attendance on here.
Attendance was 7,854.
Yeah.
So, capacity is 18,000.
But what they do in a lot of those hockey arenas, they kind of put curtains around the upper deck, makes it feel more intimate. They had a great student section. They really did a nice job.
By the way, Seton Hall was favored by 5 in Vegas there.
Yeah. And
that's a pretty good squad.
Yeah. And so the effort was incredible. And I keep telling people. In fact, I talked to Dave Sims for a long time, the TV play-by-play guy, and a couple other people were asking me, you know, about the team, and I said, here's the – Cartier Gordon is the kid that he has all these pieces to a great game, and somewhere along the line, he's going to drop a ton of bricks on somebody and really explode. See, well, was this it? He had 14 points, 4 rebounds, credited with 3 blocks. I think he had more like 5, but –
That ref really was jobbing him.
Yeah. You're on the road. You're on the road. I get it. And that's 6 of 10 from the floor. Yep. That still wasn't the breakout day for him. He's going to really – he is going to explode on somebody.
Mm-hmm. 37 minutes for a 230-pounder at 6'9" is a lot of minutes, brother.
Yeah. Hassan French was in foul trouble. DJ Foreman was having some issues and played a little more one forward – more of the game than we would actually like to.
Yeah.
But also for defensive purposes, when you got guys like Fred Thatch and Javon Bess and Jordan Goodwin, who can guard virtually any position on the floor, you go to that because this was going to be a grinded out game.
Bess had 13 rebounds. That's pretty incredible. I would expect more from Gordon. He had 4.
Yeah. He played a terrific game.
Yeah.
It was just
wasn't too much around the rim. Not
it was just
bouncing his way.
Yeah,
I mean,
I have no issues.
13 is owning the rim.
Yeah, and he was guarding their best player.
Yeah,
I mean, he was that was a dominant defensive performance. And then you start to look at this team had not been able to score. 68 is not great. It's better than what they'd been doing. But here was another anomaly that, you know, when you try to put the equation together of is this an equation to win or lose? And, you know, like you guys were doing with the Mizzou game with turnovers on 24 turnovers.
Yep.
That doubled what they had done in the previous three games, or was what they'd done in the previous three games, because their shooting percentages were good. And you really had a chance to blow Seton Hall out if you wouldn't have turned the ball over so much. Now, part of the problem when you turn a ball over, it's because the other team's playing hard too. You can't, a lot of times when we criticize or praise, wait a minute, you know, there's a dance partner out there with you. And so they created a lot on for them defensively. But the Bills shoot 47% from the field, 5 of 8 from three-point range. The number of three-point shots taken was way down, which I think they needed to do.
Yeah.
Because they were just launching it rather than trying to get into the offense and go into the bigs, who as a trio were shooting close to 60% on the season. And then 70% free throw shooting as a team is pedestrian but not horrible. When it had been horrible. So all those things are good.
And I'm just waiting for the day where hoops again become prevalent. I think people tend to forget, once again, as you like to say, archaic reference loss on today's youth. You go back to the days, SLU competitive, at the time, Southwest Missouri.
Yeah.
Competitive, Mizzou competitive, Illinois competitive. College basketball used to be fun in St. Louis.
Well, we're
on a regional scale.
Recent years, yeah.
There's been a little bit of a drought.
We're there now. SLU is good. Mizzou, despite all the things we've been talking about, Mizzou's going to be good. They are good.
Worst case, competitive.
Southern Illinois, tough start, couple of tough games. Southern Illinois Carbondale is going to be good. They are good, I should say. They are good. It's positive, and people just need to pay attention.
One more thing on this.
If they want to.
No, they have to. I'll find it.
I like that. I like that. One more thing. If you just check box, I always tell people in football, if you can show me turnovers, penalties, and then I get to pick my third stat, I can usually tell you in a football box score who won the game.
Okay. Right?
That mostly tells a story. In basketball, I think a lot of times that's turnovers, free throws, and then you can pick your other one. Turnovers on this one, 24 for SLU compared to 9 for Seton Hall, and they shot virtually the same percentage from free throw line. That usually means 10 to 15 point win for Seton Hall.
Yep.
So to overcome that is a huge deal.
And here's a number that can explain what they did. 40 to 28 rebound margin for SLU. In most of the game, they had twice as many rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so controlling the boards was the key that counterbalanced the turnovers.
Yeah. What happens when you're controlling the boards? You're hustling.
Yep.
Yeah, you're working your butt off.
And basketball, defense and hustle can make up for a lot of things.
College basketball is
well, yeah, obviously, yes. And that's what we're talking about
today. Yes.
Thank you. Anyhow,
there was
if we're going to talk NBA, though, once again, last night.
Rock loves
it. LeBron, not yet. LeBron last night.
Not yet.
Okay.
You got to hold on.
My bad. I'm sorry.
They're 9-7. Better than I thought.
The
I'm in my apologetic mode.
The Here's another thing.
I don't know what that means. Go ahead.
Worst call I've ever seen.
Again?
My wife. No, I didn't say it on the air. My wife did via text while watching the game. And I texted her back, do you eat with that mouth? And,
wow.
It was Hassan French. Guys, I got to tell you this. All three of you guys.
Yep.
All you listeners.
Listening, yep.
Hassan French with an absolute perfect, clinical, dominating box out on a rebound. He had position. He didn't have his, he wasn't holding the guy. He was down in position. He was wide. Did you see it?
No, I just love how animated you're getting about not even not. I like how because at the end of the story would be fantastic. He's like, I mean, he lost out on the rebound, but the box out
no.
was clinical.
No, it was worse than losing the rebound. He ran the guy, he moved the guy out. The guy falls down, so they call a foul on him.
Yeah.
You want to scream and grab the ref. This is the way boxing out has been taught since Naismith hammered up the peach basket.
Right.
If you can ride him out to the concession stand, you do it. That's how you're taught. And he did nothing illegal, and they called a foul. And that's where I was going
worst
over.
Call your wife has ever seen.
Yeah, I was going over the table. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey, you know, we've seen guys grab guys or maybe get an arm blocked and, you know, give them a little jitsu throw.
A jitsu.
No, what I did, John?
Did you catch
that? See what I did, John?
Jitsu.
Gave him a jitsu hip throw.
I like it. See, that's the way it is. We are the world.
You learn and adapt. But no, it was beautiful. And so anyway, that was my one. That was my one deal.
I do love that.
No, it was a really nice. It was a really terrific win. Now, 1 year ago, the Billikens, unheralded, went to New York and beat a very highly regarded Virginia Tech team, and then turn around and mess down their leg against Providence. Now, Providence was a much better team, but it was a non-competitive effort. So now you've got Pitt on Wednesday in a morning game. Well, it's noon there, but it'll be morning here. Now you got Pitt on Wednesday.
Hey, Brock, I'll be back. I had to do a conference call. I think Rammer will still be talking Billiken basketball, so we'll be good. I'll be back.
And you would be right.
That's right.
And so now, can you you got to match or always look to surpass your effort, right?
Sure.
And you can't. Because if you give the next game away, it almost negates the beautiful effort you had the game before.
Is
you
the
know,
worst.
The letdown is the worst, yep. And that goes to all sports. Oh, speaking of that, I know I'm dumb. We can do more SLU as we go. How about this one? This was really fun. Brush with greatness. On the plane back, sat next to an Olympic rower.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where from?
From St. Genevieve.
How about that?
How about that? I go, from St. Genevieve.
Olympic rower, huh?
She goes, yeah, there's not very many Midwestern rowers.
Yeah, I bet that's right.
And 6'2", built. I mean, she can row.
Rocky,
it's a terrifying sport because the physical, like literally those people, like they have to see doctors after they finish because their body gets broken down so much in one race. It's like they have to have immediate medical attention. They have to immediately get like certain like vitamins and fluids immediately like from like team doctors because their body like falls apart. Like it's insane. You don't realize how grueling that sport really is until you actually like read about it.
So anyway, it was a fun brush with greatness talking.
That's
Olympic
cool.
Training and stuff. You would have liked it because I was actually thinking about you and SEAL training and all the stuff they go through and how hard it is. And
I can't
pretty
stop
cool.
watching those videos, Rock. I can't stop. My wife is very upset. Maybe,
which video?
Again,
SEAL?
Again, you're still technically, like, in that, I mean, you're still within, like, the six-month thing since your wedding. Like, you're just technically a newlywed.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be watching videos all the time of the SEALs. Like, you should be spending time with your wife.
She goes to work. What am I supposed to do all day? I watch SEAL videos, and then I talk about it for the half hour that are opening somehow. I don't know how that happened, but I did. And I can't stop. That David Goggins guy is unbelievable. He was on, so they didn't even.
Should we just rerun from Friday what you were saying?
Stop. Yeah. Don't dive into this.
No, they didn't give his name in the book, but apparently he's come out and done a ton of interviews, even with the guy who wrote the book. So I watched all that stuff. By the way, the game you're talking about, if you didn't mention it already, Wednesday, 11 a.m. against Pitt.
11 a.m. Central. Yep. And
that'll be here in town.
No, that's at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn.
Really?
Yeah, we're back to, the team stayed. I came home to be with you guys.
Got it. Okay, thank you. So that is why Missouri is facing off against Kansas State, number 12, today at 6:30, if you guys are interested in watching that. By the way, Brock, you put something.
He's
on.
Waving papers at us for that? No apparent reason.
That? Oh, I will find that. Okay.
Oh, the brewery lights.
By the way, 855-282-8255. While I find that, read. Your thoughts are welcome. Do we have any text, Rock? You're in charge of the text line, and I mean, come on.
Yeah, some people are not too happy that we're talking about basketball instead of football today. Both Harrison's brother, Master, and Catfish says biggest win of the weekend was Mizzou football. Why are we talking basketball?
Well,
because they had some big wins this weekend.
You might
as well.
Not be aware, sir. I broadcast basketball.
Yeah.
So,
and we're going to get into football.
Yeah, we've still got 90 minutes left.
Yeah, we're going to talk Mizzou football probably twice. We know we're going to talk Gabe Darman at the end. We're going to go Mizzou football next segment. And either Cam Jansen at the end of that segment, or we'll talk to him at the 2 o'clock hour. Hey, it would not be the holidays without the lights, brewery lights at historic Anheuser-Busch, featuring two new activities for the kids this year: nightly screenings of a holiday classic in the outdoor movie screen, and a kid zone featuring the brewery lights express train. All aboard for family fun. Adding over 1 million lights in the tradition of the Budweiser Clydesdales roasting s'mores in an outdoor ice skating rink under the glow of the Budweiser sign, and it is a holiday tradition unlike any other. Come for the free walking tours and stay for all the festivities every Thursday to Sunday, November 15th through December 30th. Brewery Lights in Anheuser-Busch, where holiday magic is always brewing. For more information, visit brewerylights.com. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser, lager beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. There you go. That'll be cool. You've been down there, I'm sure, huh?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Really cool.
I thought I went with my wife. Apparently I did not, but I must have gone with some buddies. I don't remember.
You would go with your friends. By the way, Harrison's brother, Doug Vaughn's Fancy Thong is asking, is there any way to watch the Mizzou basketball game tonight? Flow Hoops. Flow Hoops. Get a little one-month subscription with them, $7. Flow Hoops.
There you go.
That's how you watch the game tonight. Ninth game?
Well, no, wait a minute.
That's the
explain what that means to some.
Okay, so there's a website.
As if you were talking to a child. I am.
www.flowhoops.com.
Flow Hoops, spell that.
And then you put in your credit card information. They charge you $7.
Not
$6.99. They charge you $6.99. And for a month, you can watch all the games they provide on Flow Hoops.
So you're going
to. Wait a minute. On Flow Hoops? How is that on my big screen TV in my living room?
It's not on your big screen TV.
Well, then I'm not watching it.
Well,
I didn't work my life to get a 60-inch television and not be able to watch games on.
Do you know what an HDMI cord is?
No.
Okay, we're running into issues. Issues all over here.
It means you can't get it on.
Yes.
It just means you don't know how. Yes, you could get it on the screen if you wanted to have a conversation further than this.
But it doesn't go on what we like to call the TV?
No, it does not.
No.
Well, that's just BS, man.
Well, look, we'll get you this.
Sorry, I watch most of my sports on my laptop nowadays, so.
That's un-American.
Hmm. It's very American.
I also don't pay for a lot of it either, so.
Actually, Americans are the only one that do that.
Pretty much the most American thing I can think of. Going to eat some pie while I'm doing
that. Beer. People drink beer everywhere. Nobody just grabs a laptop and watches games. Just here. So anyway, we are going to talk some Missouri football on the other side here. I'm telling you right now, and I said it last week, but after that thrashing, Barry Odom deserves a raise. He deserves an extension.
I saw that tweet.
There's a lot of stuff going on here. And we're going to get into it. I argued with Eric Messersmith about this for about
45
minutes.
Oh, good. You can have this argument again.
And I'm going to have the same argument. It is a travesty if this continues, because we'll get into it. It's the hard line.